Besides the September 7, 2003 show, phone line is open, 427-3772. City Council meeting is coming up. I'm looking over the agenda, a couple of points. If you do have online access, you might want to check the minutes of the last meeting, which are on the first item on the consent agenda, and you can actually get a kind of a discussion of the budget from some of the critics, the SCAN critics who proposed an alternate budget, and as Thomas Levitt notes, were ignored. That's item one. They spoke at the July 14th and 15th budget hearings and July 22nd. Those minutes are on the City Council agenda. Again, scrolling down here to see what consent agenda items they're trying to zip past us. I got revised dental and vision and self-insurance rates, donation of surplus vehicles, renovation projects, downtown permit parking program, budget adjustment. They're going to add $100,500 to implement the downtown permit parking program. This is the one that takes what was free parking and sells it back to you at a modest monthly price. Actually, not so modest, but there you are. So they're going to actually have to get $100,000 of taxpayer money to fund this sucker, to balance the neighborhood parking demand and all that sort of thing. They're going to recruit and train a new parking office rep, purchase and enforce new enforcement technology, install new technology, convert 40 meters from 2-hour to 12-hour meters, develop and distribute marketing materials. I like that conversion, 2 to 12 hours. Placement of signage, permit orders, and sales. And the permits will go on sale in mid-November. Staff has identified 40 existing on-street parking locations where 2-hour meters could be converted to 12 hours. This will help mitigate the loss of the civic lot when special events preempt employee parking at the City Council complex. Employees now, so this is actually 12-hour meters are for the employees. For all the rest of you clowns, ride your bikes or walk. Actually, that's not a bad idea, but for those of us who are stuck in vehicles or let ourselves be stuck in vehicles or need vehicles for one reason or another, or feel we do, it particularly impacts low-income people. Let's see. This is an item on the downtown permit parking. You can get to read about the expenses and the revenues. I haven't examined it closely, but it looks actually interesting. If I'd had more time, I would have perhaps looked at it more and had some more pungent comments to make. But I think the whole program, which was opposed by workers, it was opposed by numerous residents, it was opposed by a lot of activists, and there was no input from low-income people whatsoever that I'm aware of in this, and it'll have a significant effect, particularly when the expanded program goes into effect in January. It's going to essentially criminalize people from leaving their vehicles on the street at night, even if they aren't sleeping in them. So even if you go find a bush to sleep under, it's going to be illegal to even park your vehicle. You do it three times or more, and it'll get booted, and you can take the train out of town, so to speak, if you can find a way to do a little hoboing on the train. What else we got here? On the afternoon consent agenda, which again starts at 3 o'clock, for those of you City Council watchers who are watching, they're applying for funds, $140,000 here, $360,000 there, looking to get money. Again, money for what? For the redevelopment agency to throw into the Nueva Vista project. That's where virtually all of our affordable housing money is going. For subsidized housing to create less housing than they destroyed in the Dolphin Lee / Nueva Vista project. Looking over some more of this. Aha! They're supporting restoring eligibility for driver's licenses for all California motorists. I guess that includes illegal immigrants, I suspect, and I support that myself. I don't think it helps to criminalize people who drive, even if they are illegal in terms of their immigration. There's a public hearing in the afternoon on law enforcement block grant funds, which is $84,000. This is the money that comes from the feds for the cops. I think it's the feds. Steve Belcher, Bob Lee, they have to say what they're going to be doing. Most of the money is going to go for a police vehicle. They're getting $84,000. They're going to retrain their dog with $10,000. They'll get crime scene investigation equipment for $12,000. build security upgrades for $14,000 and replace an RMS server for $16,000. My concern is that it's Belcher and Wilson who submitted this report, and I frankly, not saying they are going to lie about what they're doing, I'm saying that they are probably going to give it the best possible spin, so we don't really know from the other side what's going on. Then there's a resolution upping the fees for planning and so forth, we mentioned that was already mentioned. There's a review of the advisory body appointment process, and here I think is where the council, having cut down the hours of advisory bodies, is now going to start paring down their, it's going to start looking at what they're doing, is my fear. Now item 40. Instead of an impeachment resolution, which many people have asked with regarding Bush, though I don't know why they also don't want to get rid of Riley, Kennedy, and the local council, not to mention our longtime real council, the real power mongers and power users in this particular city, the city manager, the city attorney, and the city police chief, who are not elected and but appointed, but seem to run things anyway. There's a letter to the House Judiciary Committee communicating concerns. And this is, many citizens of Santa Cruz have come to oral communications, written, phoned, mailed, and so forth, to start impeachment proceedings. They've raised thoughtful, provocative questions. After researching constitutional law as well as seeking advice from our congressional representatives, we believe the appropriate action for us to take at this time would be to advise the House Judiciary Committee of these concerns and ask them to answer the questions raised by many in this community. This is not a demand for impeachment or to tell the committee how to do its job. It calls attention to and joins our concerns to those of local citizens and tells the committee we are interested in their response. Signed, Emily Riley, Scott Kennedy, and Tim Fitzmaurice. So note, this is not a support impeachment resolution. Just raises some questions. In other words, they pulled the teeth again. 7 o'clock, session of City Council. A number of ordinances about 9/11, which I think is giving fees, requiring fees for 9/11. And I'm kind of curious about this. Are you going to have to pay before you announce your friend is dying? I'm not quite sure. It's a sort of a long law. I haven't really looked it over. Can't really tell you. I don't wish to clarify unclearly, and I really can't tell you. You're going to have to look this over yourself or go online or go to the library where there you can find the agenda packet and you can read this issue yourself, and that is going to be item number 44 on the evening agenda. It's an ordinance for second reading. Then item, I guess it's item 44 and 45 are about concern both the emergency response fee. I'm going to take a second look at this here. Maybe I can quickly. The fee will be $349 per month for access lines and $2,616 for trunk lines. And I'm not sure what the significance of this is. I guess when you phone from a, if you want to ask a merchant to use his phone, he's going to have to pay for the 9/11. So I guess you got to convince him it's an emergency first, or her, as the case may be. And there's also something nasty on the agenda, which I noticed, but I skipped over it. It has to do with cutting back, requiring all advisory committees to issue only action minutes. That means they can't really say more of what went on and what was discussed, only what was done, which is kind of the Kennedy-Rotkin approach of eliminating and paring down to the bare minimum any public record of what goes on. And I find that, of course, I have a special interest because I say things at city council meeting that have been mentioned in the minutes, and these kinds of things would be likely cut back if this resolution passes. And I say Kennedy-Rotkin, but I've got to be actually clear about this. I don't know who is implementing. I know who they passed. Here we go. It's item number 22 on the afternoon agenda. The background is Council Policy 5.14 requires minutes from the Planning Commission be a detailed account of any item that is appealed, and apparently they want to change that. So they eliminate the requirement to provide detailed minutes for the Planning Commission and the Historic Preservation Commission to save 40 hours of labor. And so you might say, well, here you are, you're wrong again, Norris, doesn't affect City Council. It's a bad precedent at this level, too. I think, again, I haven't looked at the Planning Commission and Historic Preservation Commission minutes, but I think there are particular reasons that people wanted to have clear and lengthy minutes in these meetings. Commissions are our public input opportunity, and they are being cut back. They are being actually destroyed, as the Citizens Police Review Board was destroyed, by the same people that want to essentially do all these things for us. Kennedy, Rodkin, Fitzmaurice, Riley, the city council, the Gang of Seven, as I call them right now. With Ed Porter perhaps occasionally shaking his head and tisk-tisking, but moving right along, even as he arrests people for tape recording in his meetings, as he did me in November. On that subject, on Wednesday, September 10th, I am going to be in court in San Francisco. So the Huff meeting, usually held that morning, will have to be, it'll probably be moved ahead to Tuesday or forward to, probably not to Thursday, because that's Steve Argue and a couple of other folks are going to court on that day. So there's going to be, however, a hearing in federal court on the issue of the Heil-Krone case, as I call it. It actually is the Heil-Fitzmaurice case, because Fitzmaurice is the person who took the action of having me, who pushed then-Mayor Krone into arresting me. But Krone, had he shown an ounce of backbone, could have said no, and could have said, we're going to move right along, but he did not. And for those who somehow think that Krone is, you know, a sweetie because he appears in the audience at street performers' functions and so forth, and, you know, wanders around with his kids and so forth, he's a nice guy, and comes on free radio, you know, and that's all very well, and does medical marijuana giveaways for 13 people, but still keeps the law in force for the other 2,500 people who he votes to zone out with the medical marijuana clubs. People should know that it just ain't so. And though I praise him for recent articles he has written in the Green Press and in the Sentinel, and in the good times, and I do praise him for essentially exposing City Manager Dick Wilson and exposing the budget boondoggle that's going to slash social services and raise the police department budget, in essence. Nonetheless, I've also kind of written a long thing, which I haven't sent to the good times, which talks about the fact that he's taken no responsibility for what he did when he was mayor and when he was city council member and what he didn't do. And all his criticisms and his, you know, when the people lead, the leaders will follow rhetoric would mean more if he actually took some responsibility for mistakes that were made. You know, that actually might show some change of heart. Or, you know, it could also be another one of these political things. That's always the problem with politicians, you know. And Krone is a politician. So, if he wants to move from politician to commentator, he's got to do more. But what's happening on Wednesday, and I get off on Krone, and shouldn't be, is that I go to court because I am suing the city and Sergeant Baker and the city council for a false arrest at the city council. When I raised my arm in a silent, you're acting like a bunch of fascists salute back in March of 2002, after the city council Mayor Krone had threatened Susan Zeman, a peace activist, with arrest because she wanted to appropriately claim her time at the city council mic at the oral communications segment, I was told I would have to leave or be arrested. And I said, no, this is a city council meeting. And I sat down and stayed in a decorous manner. I don't think that a silent gesture indicating I strongly disagree with what you're doing and think you're acting like fascists, which only one council member saw, Fitzmaurice, and chose to take offense to and then to attempt to personally punish me for, can be the basis for eliminating First Amendment rights for everybody and intimidating the rest of the community. It's outrageous. And I know there are some members of the audience who may disagree with me. They find things like a fuck the police t-shirt the basis for, you know, foaming at the mouth and jumping up and down, you know, and scrapping the First Amendment. But I don't. I think that these are all part of the dialogue, provided they do not disrupt the business of the council. Although, frankly, a little disrupting of the business of the council, since its business seems to be in the opposite direction of the business of the public, might be a fine idea. But if it doesn't disrupt the business of the council, then it's not a violation of, it's not disturbing the peace, and it's not disrupting a city council meeting, which I was charged with. And of course, the charge, after I was held in jail for 6 hours, was rapidly dropped because it wasn't a valid charge. No jury would have found me guilty of that. And several attorneys immediately leaped into the fray and said, this is outrageous. We're going to take this case. David Beauvais of Berkeley and Kate Wells stepped forward. It went to Judge White of San Jose in the federal court. Unfortunately, the attorneys involved did not include a videotape of this incident, which really is so clear. You can see it, by the way, if you want to see the incident, you can go to the Indie Media website, a good website for a lot of purposes, www.santacruz.indiemedia.org, and you can take a look at the video clip. I believe it's still on that website. I got to go back to March of 2002, and you'll find a you got to scroll through the archives of the Santa Cruz Indie Media, indymedia.org website, and you'll see the crime that I was arrested for. Now, since that time, I've raised my hand silently again, saying, you know, in essence, silently, Sieg Heil, City Council, thank you for acting like a bunch of fascists, which I agree is not the most pleasant thing to say to the City Council, but we're talking about a public body, publicly accountable, and we're talking about the rights of citizens to have a response to that body. If you have a sign up in the back that says, you're acting like a bunch of Nazis, that's a legal sign to have. They're suggesting that a symbolic motion with the hand is somehow illegal. It's ridiculous. It is repressive. What it really is, it's a way of intimidating people, a particular group of people that Tim Fitzmaurice wants to intimidate, because they are trying to call him on his hypocrisies around homeless issues and other civil rights issues in the course of his four-plus-year reign on the City Council. So we're going to see what happens. What happened was, as I mentioned, Judge White received this information without the video. He dismissed the case, the suit against the City Council, saying that silently raising your hand was disruptive. Didn't explain why he said it was disruptive, and that the rules were constitutional. The rules, which actually don't even require actual disruption, so they aren't really constitutional. They are involve things like slanderous, personal, offensive comments are somehow the basis for exclusion from a city council meeting, which cannot be the case. You know, if a council member is slandered, he can go to court on it. You can slander a council member as much as you want, provided you stay within your time limits, you stay on topic, and you let the next person speak. That's unfortunately, or fortunately, as the case may be, and I say fortunately, the way it is. But not in Santa Cruz, not at the City Council, not if Tim Fitzmaurice has his way, not if council members Rotkin and Kennedy and Riley have their way. Riley shut off the mic on me when I tried to bring up the issue of John Moorer, and we talked about this earlier, the fuck the pigs sign that he had. He put a little sign in his hat after he was harassed by the police with 4 or 5 tickets, and John is a pretty mild-mannered guy, but he got so fed up with this, he put this little sign in his hat, and they harassed him for that. They gave him a ticket for that one. So this upset constitutional scholar Paul Sanford. He's taken it to court in late September. The city attorney is now trying to weasel out of it by saying, he wasn't really violating the law. Let's forget the whole thing. And Paul Sanford, the attorney, is saying, no way. We are going to make sure that you acknowledge that you will not do this again, that it is unconstitutional behavior and ordinance the way it's written. Profane and abusive language while soliciting is what they're using. But the point is, they use what they want. They've given the police a blank check downtown to do everything they want and anything they want. And it's all part of this merchant touch up the avenue by getting rid of the people that don't belong, the unsightly types on the avenue. And it's very oppressive, and it's produced a lot of negative effects. But anyway, on Wednesday, as I mentioned before, there's going to be a federal court review of this case. My attorney, Beauvais, ever the optimist, predicts we're going to win. If I do win at that level, it means it goes back to Judge White, who will have to consider the hearing for an injunction against the City Council. It doesn't mean you can run through City Council naked, screaming and disrupting business, but it does mean that they can't arrest you if you are raising your hand in a Nazi salute. At a certain point, you can't obviously drown out the council by screaming Sieg Heil, although frankly sometimes that makes more sense than what the council is doing. At least it doesn't cut social services. At least it doesn't eliminate civil rights downtown. At least it doesn't duck the issue of the war in Iraq, as Kennedy and the council have done repeatedly for the last 3 months, instead of calling for U.S. out of Iraq, as we asked for, many of us. It doesn't duck the impeachment issue, as going to be ducked again at this council meeting. And, of course, the issue of the Patriot Act, a Patriot Act free zone, which we had been promised by Scott Kennedy and Mark Premack, were going to be on this agenda, are not on this agenda. Interestingly enough, And we're, the Bill of Rights Defense Committee, some folks on that, they're leading the group, explain, well, it'll be on a later agenda, or they hope. I hope, too. But frankly, you know, unless there's a large, strong public opinion, as Thomas Levitt has said, rising up angry and united, or at least in coalition, the council will do its usual pick and choose and play people off against each other and pass these toothless resolutions and proceed to do what it's always done. Unfortunately, that's my concern. Anyway, you may have a different view. I'm pretty negative, aren't I? Let's add some sweetness and light to this issue. Give me a call, 427-3772. And you can have your thoughts on this issue.
And now, a public service announcement from former President Bill Clinton.
Hi there. Bill Clinton here, and you know, ladies and gentlemen, we're at a crucial juncture in our showdown with Iraq. And I'm here tonight to discuss something that concerns me deeply. I'm talking, of course, about the fact that some of our long-term allies seem to have turned their back on America. Now, of course, primarily I'm talking about those beret-wearing poodle walkers from France who'd be speaking German right now if it weren't for the good old U.S. What I'm saying is we can't let France think we're going to stand idly by and let this happen. So I urge all of you out there to join me in the great American French out. And remember, I'm willing to match your commitment. In other words, if you all are willing to give up French bread, then I will give up French-made outfits. And if you think you can forego French fries, then I will give up French kissing. And if Americans have the gumption to boycott French toast, then by gosh, I'll give up French ticklers. Now, these are some heavy sacrifices. Believe me, I know. But together we can do it. So from now on, just be a little nicer in a restaurant. You know, wear a little more deodorant than you normally would. And if you're thinking about ordering that bottle of French wine, well, before you do, just remember this famous French wine.
Oh, I'm so scared. Where's the U.S.? Help me, where's my white flag? I surrender.
You see, we need to send a message to Paris. America is devoted to promoting democracy around the world. We've upped our commitment to NATO and to our allies. And now, France, up yours.
We're outside the halls of justice at last, the fresh air out here, and we're talking with
Chris Williams.
And Chris, you're here to pay a fine.
I am here to pay a fine.
Because you were found guilty of?
Possession of more than an ounce of marijuana.
Tell us how this happened.
Well, I had just purchased my vehicle down in Santa Monica. I'd had it maybe 24 hours. I'd just driven it home. I was coming from a friend's house in Scotts Valley, going about 30 and a 35. I was probably 100 yards from the highway off-ramp, and the cop pulls me over.
Scotts Valley police officer
pulls me over, and he then tells me, he pulled me over because I had a temporary registration on my vehicle, and that was his reason for stopping me, besides having been going 30 and a 35, which is marked on my ticket. That's his reason, 30 and a 35, which is why he stopped me. Along with
a
my
little too slow. You got to keep up with the traffic.
Even though it was about 2 in the morning and I was the only car on the road. But anyway, so he then proceeds to ask me if I have any illicit substances in the vehicle. I tell him no. He asks me if he can search my vehicle. I tell him no. He then proceeds to handcuff me, ask me to get out of the car, handcuffs me, and proceeds to search my vehicle anyway. I know this is illegal, so I just keep quiet. Three of his friends show up, and they all start having giggles. Oh, hey, smells like some chronic. Yeah, ha ha ha, I learned that lingo from the kids. I get charged with about, how much, an ounce and a gram. I had probably a little more over 3 ounces on me at the time.
So they took stole 2 ounces from you?
About, yeah.
Wait a minute. Are Scotts Valley police officers stealing marijuana? No, come. Surely you must be jesting.
No, this is what happens here. So I get charged with just about, you know, a gram over the legal ounce, or not the legal, but the ounce limit. And so they can charge me with the over an ounce. I got possession. And because they took everything else, even though it was in separate increments, considering I'd just gotten it, I was not charged with intent, which was definitely a plus. My grandfather happens to be a lawyer, so I went and got the arrest record, took it to him. The arrest record claims that when he asked me if I had illicit substances, I handed him both a pipe, a joint, and a sack of marijuana.
That was pretty nice of you.
Yeah, very nice. Considering I, for some reason, was smoking a joint while smoking a pipe at the same time, I don't know how.
He's a heavy smoker.
I guess so. I have skills. So yeah, I took that to my grandfather, and he pretty much put it down in terms of, you know what, they got you here on paper, there's nothing you can really do about it, take the smallest sentence you can get, and be glad that you're just getting a fine and a year's restriction on your license.
And which judge found the, was the court to the trial, well, was he, the plea
actually,
made
actually, I'm not too sure on the judge's name. I know he was balding, and that probably didn't sum it down, but he, oh God, he was a number himself. There was two people in line before me. One of them was in an orange jumper, already in custody. She was there for endangerment of a child and drunken driving. She got off without anything, without a fine. He just looked at it and said, okay, sure, no problem, let her go, right there and then. There was another gentleman in there before me, and he was so drunk at 8 in the morning that he was slurring his words. Sir, you've been in my courtroom 3 separate times now for this offense. You owe us a given amount of money, but to make this easier for you, since you're obviously not going to pay us, I'm going to cut your sentence in half, or your fine in half, and give you a work program with Homeless Gardens to pay off the other part. And this was all done in about 20 seconds, both people. Then I come up, and I'm dressed in a suit and tie. I got my suit on. I'm looking good. You know, I'm respectful. I've got all my paperwork in order. And I step up. I'm like, you know, good morning, sir, all that bullshit. And he proceeds to look at the file and immediately says, so you're here for marijuana? Just like that. And proceeds to ream me upside and one side and down the other about how bad it is and how he wishes...
Marijuana was bad?
Oh, yeah, and how he wishes he could give me jail time, except for I was released of my own recognizance for some odd reason. They didn't want to book me that night. I wonder why. When I was arrested. So they can't legally give me jail time. That's probably why I didn't see any. So all he could do is give me a $400 fine, about, and restrict my license for a year, which I actually had to fight for. He wanted to straight up take it away, and I had to convince him that I'm a full-time student and I work, and I can't get from...
What do you do?
Well, I at the moment, I'm actually not attending classes this semester. I'm taking off time to work. I own a small independent art label. I pretty much draw for a living.
How old are you?
I'm 19, about to turn 20. I've owned this business for about 2 years. I've been drawing pretty steadily. It's put me through school. I've been living on my own.
Drawing some heat as well, apparently.
apparently. Yeah, I mean, it's just, it goes to show you the alternative lifestyle, whatever it may be, legal or otherwise, is definitely frowned upon.
You mind if we play this on free radio?
Do what you will with it. It's all the same to me.
Now, your mother is here. Aren't you ashamed of this boy?
I'm proud of this boy.
You mean this? You mean for causing so much consternation among the Scotts Valley constables?
Well,
she's breathless. She's speechless. She knows just
speechless.
Know what to say.
I really, you know, can't speak out on public radio against our police forces.
Not and want your windows to remain unbroken. What am I saying? No, of course, the police would never. And actually, let's put it this way. Have you lived in Scotts Valley for a while?
I've never lived in Scotts Valley.
Okay. So this actually, just, you were driving
I
through
was
Scotts.
I was passing through. I was passing through. It was the only road or car on the road. And, you know, I have a red car, a red Honda Civic I was driving at the time. And it just, I guess it stood out. I mean, I guess at 2 in the morning when you're the only car on the road and you got nothing to do.
Car.
You've got to find somebody. I know at 2 o'clock when I went through Scotts Valley, they stopped me too. I think they gave me a taillight thing. They couldn't find much else. They were
No, you could tell they were definitely looking for something. They
looking
were
looking for something.
Striving for something.
I did have a tape recorder prominently placed on the dashboard.
But that would have been nice. Young.
That would have been nice.
I'm young. And you have long hair.
Yes.
And I used to have a, you know, VW bus with, you know, that was hand painted. I mean, any excuse to stop anyone.
Oh, this isn't the 60s anymore. Come, those days are over. We've entered a new enlightened era.
Oh, well, we're definitely not hearing cops say, you know, get out of the hair, car, long hair, but,
Get out of the car, fuckhead.
Yeah,
right.
Pretty much, more or less.
Actually, no one's ever said to me, get out of the car, fuckhead, but, I'm waiting for that one. Thank you very much. We've been talking with
Chris Williams
and
Jessica Polachek.
Thank you.
Good evening, everybody. George W. Bush here, and at this time, I'd like to welcome my family. Mom, Dad, Laura, come on out here. Hi, sweetheart. How are you? Hey, Dad. Hi, Mom.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, son, I'm afraid because of me, you might have another problem on your hands. Looks like old Saddam trying to get weapons of mass destruction. It's bad, bad. So when you deal with him, you need to be vigilant.
I will be.
And you can never, ever capitulate.
I don't know the meaning of the word capitulate.
Yeah, it's too bad, son. Now, you see that thing you're doing right there? Don't do it.
What, Dad? I was just talking.
Yep, that's what I mean. I think the time for talking is done. Why don't you do that little song that I taught you?
I still have sky high polls, but Democrats insist that things are bad.
Bad.
To keep all the headlines off economic deadlines, I took some advice from dear old Dad. He told me, talk about Saddam much as you can. Talk about Saddam, my son. If you act now, they'll forget the doubt. So talk about Saddam, my son.
Now, son, you've got to get Saddam because he tried to get your daddy. But you have to be careful because he's tricky. Well, we hear he has body doubles. Your daddy told me he's got 3 body doubles.
3 doubles? That's 6 guys.
No, sweetheart, what she means is he's trying to fool you by using lookalikes.
Oh, well, you know, Laura, 2 can play at that game. For instance, when I send in the UN inspectors, I won't send in the real inspectors. I'll send in inspector lookalikes.
Talk. Talk. Don't. Talk!
Tom Daschle's a baby, says don't attack and maybe the UN will soon address Iraq.
Rack.
Saddam, start preparing, cause Fox will soon be airing a show called When Presidents Attack. Dad told me, talk about Saddam fast as you can. You know what you must do. When you are through, I hope it works for you.
Much better than 92.
Well, son, I hope you don't get a touch of deja vu.
Yeah, you know, Dad, the French don't even have a word for déjà vu.
And it's Free Radio Santa Cruz you're listening to, 96.3 FM. I'm Robert Norris. We're going to be with you for another hour. And if you want to call in and chat about anything you've heard, 427-3772 is the number. Mentioning that I'll be up in federal court on Wednesday trying to get the city council to resume First Amendment protections. And actually, Brown Act also is involved. That's the law that allows you to be present at public meetings without being dragged away because Tim Fitzmaurice doesn't like the way, oh, the signs you're wearing or the things you're saying or what you do. So that should be interesting. Thursday, September 11th, I go back to court on jaywalking on Pacific Avenue. We're going to get a postponement on that. The city attorney apparently wants to spend another couple thousand dollars fighting that ticket, or fighting to get me convicted under that ticket. This is for walking across Pacific Avenue in the daytime. Officer Phelps gave me that ticket. He claimed I was interfering with a vehicle. Several witnesses stated there were no vehicles around, but I guess Phelps and the witnesses can chat about that issue in the courtroom. We can spend some more time on it. This was after he had surveilled the political table that I was working at in front of the Pacific Trading Company for more than 3 hours in order to make sure that we didn't spend more than 61 minutes at a table. Interesting situation. Again, that won't be really happening, but at 10 o'clock on September 11th, Steve Argue, a terrorist at large, will be coming back for pretrial on charges of 61 minutes at a political table in front of the Pacific Trading Company. And I guess the added charge was refusing to sign a citation. He's going to be talking about that when he comes in, which should be fairly soon. Then on Friday, September 12th at 8:30, you may remember we had Roxana Custapaci and Stacy and Orly Jones talking about the CPS seizure of their four children. Stacy and Orly live in a vehicle, and their children have been taken away from them. They're going back to try to claim their kids again at a court hearing at the jail courthouse across the street from the main courthouse. They will try to exclude everybody from the courtroom. That is not Stacy and Orly, but the CPS hacks and their judicial pals who are assisting in this charade. That's at 8:30 on Friday. If you want to go down there and express your views, just be there in support of Stacy and Orly Jones. 10 a.m. on Friday, my other jaywalking ticket for jaywalking on Mission Street will be coming up again for a postponement. I don't recommend anybody come to it. I have to be there, or maybe I don't. There is a volunteer attorney that's actually covering this, amazingly enough. Saturday on September 13th, Jim Hightower will be appearing at the Bookshop Santa Cruz. And Sunday, if Becky Johnson's information is correct, there will be a Wham Fest. That's medical marijuana day out for those who are lucky enough to actually have medical marijuana cards from Wham. The rest of the other 85% of the medical marijuana users can just get their marijuana somewhere else and not get any particular help from the Santa Cruz City Council, which has zoned out the marijuana clubs. We talked about this a week ago. I talked with Andrea Tischler this morning, and she is interested in having a campaign to legalize small quantities of marijuana, period, medical or otherwise, as well as to require the city council to restore the rights of medical marijuana clubs in town. And that's something you can get more information on by giving her a call at 466-0420, 466-0420. I was also going to talk today about Phil Baer's letter in the paper. Phil's a friend of mine. I like Phil. I don't agree with him on a number of issues recently. He was a big go-getter for the U.S. invasion of Iraq, and he also opposes the medical marijuana, or he feels that marijuana has a lot more drawbacks that aren't being discussed. He had a rather long letter in the paper, which I don't think he was paid by the DEA to write it, but I'm sure he might get a paying position there if he wants. I tried to reach him this morning, but I was unable to find him on the phone. He didn't answer the phone. So that'll be for another time. I want to point out also that I got a call from Marilyn McGrath, who's a homeless activist. She was a member of the City Council's Homeless Issues Task Force. She resigned after seeing the writing on the wall, realizing the task force was going nowhere. After spending many months working with the task force, getting together lots of recommendations under the chairship of Linda LeMaster back in 1999-2000, she reported to me the other day that Patches, who some of you may know, a woman from the streets, who was partnered up with Chico for 15 years, died on Tuesday. And I didn't get the full account of this. If my producer, Becky Johnson, is calling in, Becky and Patches, I believe, were in the same jail cell when Sergeant Lundgren colluded with Mia Duquette, who's a Parks and Rec employee, to arrest Becky Johnson for chalking on the sidewalk. I guess she chalked a statement. She was actually chalking on the sidewalk. She was chalking along the gutter, which is legal, not illegal. But she was arrested for vandalism, held until midnight, and in the course of that being held, she had a long long conversations with Patches and spent some time with her. I knew Patches because Patches was interested in fighting police misconduct and for the rights, civil rights of homeless people. She was a squeegee woman, as we call her, among her other jobs. She would do that in the New Leaf parking lot. She would clean windows of cars for donations. And one of the things that Marilyn said in her message to me of, I guess, 3 or 4 days ago, announcing Patches' death on Tuesday, was that Patches, one of the reasons she died was because they didn't take her to Dominican quickly enough. And I'm not quite sure whether that was a function of problem with the ambulance, problem with the police, problem with Dominican, problem with the people who she was with, or her problem. And when I get more information on that, I will discuss it. And if Becky wants to call in, if she happens to be listening, to give more information about this, she's welcome to do that. Anybody else who wants to call in with memories of Patches certainly can. 427-3772 is the phone number. Hey, Patches. Thank you for being you, and thank you for being what you were. So, until our next guest arrives, let's hear some more interviews. I'm enjoying that. I hope you are.
All right, well, it's about 10 to 8. We're in the Loudoun Nelson Center on September 6th. The Street Performers Only in Santa Cruz Indoors show is about to begin, and we're talking to
Mark.
Mark, you are a man who has some information on some police slasher activity.
Well, yes, I have some friends that were camping at the Poganip, I guess is a famous camping spot around here in Santa Cruz, and the police came up, and apparently they were looking for a rapist. And while they were doing that, they decided to slash some tents to get inside them, too. And from what I understand, a couple sleeping bags, too. They went right through it and just roused everybody up and ran them out of there.
And you talked to, how many people were witnesses to this?
I talked to two that were up there.
And they saw this happen or they heard about it?
Yes, they saw this happen.
About what time did it happen?
I believe it was in the a.m. time, you know.
Like before dawn or?
You know, before dawn, yeah.
And how many tents were dealt with?
I don't have the exact statistics on that type of information, sir. But I do know that my friends were there, and they slashed some tents, and I believe it was a sleeping bag and stuff.
How many police were involved in it?
You know, my friends didn't really get involved.
They better give me those stats. We want all the stats.
They were just screaming about tents being slashed more than
when was this? What day?
This was the day before the newspaper article about the rapist.
About 3 or 4 days ago?
I believe so, right. So that would be the night that it happened. You know, because there was two of them in the same night that would have been after those that night.
Well, the police were working off some frustrations. What's your problem?
Well, you know, the problem is I have no problem with anybody who lets me sleep. Sleeping is not a crime.
Only in Santa Cruz, as we say here at the celebration.
Exactly. Sleeping, you know, art is not a crime either, right? Exactly.
Or at least it shouldn't be.
You know, I've camped some places on this town and been treated very nicely by people and very nicely by the police, I can tell you right now. They walked up and said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Sleeping."
Now, last night, were you sleeping outside?
Yes, I was.
Any hassles?
Not at all.
Well, that's good. Now, is that because the police are being nice to you or because you are well hidden or some other reason?
Well, hopefully it's a little of both. You know, absolutely. They've actually asked where I was camping at, though, if we're supposed to be camping there. I was told, no, we're not supposed to be. And they're still, I've been very nicely about not enforcing it as much. I wouldn't say that about it. I would say they haven't been enforcing where I'm sleeping at as much.
Now, we've heard something about police beating up somebody in San Lorenzo Park. Do you hear anything about that?
I have heard nothing about that yet.
Excellent. And then perhaps it's merely a malicious rumor being spread by anti-police activists. I shall slap them across the chops. We've been talking with
Mark.
Thanks, Mark.
Sure.
Playing at the Only in Santa Cruz Street Performers Festival the last two nights, Friday and Saturday night at Loudoun Nelson Center, in case you were lucky enough to get in, cost $10, or you had to have access to someone who had a complimentary ticket. Performers had numerous complimentary tickets to give out. Great show, by the way. Phil Free, a local musician who you probably can hear playing today on the streets, he's often in front of Borders playing, was in good tune and good voice. What we're going to hear now, however, is Phil Free, Under Fire. I began to play this in the last show. This was in a confrontation Phil had with some Potter's Hand folks at the Potter's Hand food giveaway on the mall, which used to happen every Sunday afternoon. I'm reassured or assured it's going to happen again. I haven't seen any evidence of that yet, but I'm hoping it's going to be the case. Potter's Hand also has a wonderful meal in the morning at Loudoun Nelson Center. They should still be serving if you get over there. Although they start at 11, they still go. I think they may still be going on. They give you eggs and bacon and toast and yum-yum stuff. Boy, lead me to it. Phil, however, was singing Have a Happy Fucking Day, and this upset some fundamentalist Christian folk there, and there was I played a bit of the confrontation earlier. I'm going to play some of his continued singing and some more interviews from that time. This was about a month ago.
Pointed at me, or you cannot. There's really only
your tape on you. Okay, dueling tape recorders, man.
No,
yeah.
I got my tape on me, too.
I'm not sure Pastor Adam's making a complaint or something. I'm not sure.
I know.
But it's for Phil Free, or?
Who knows?
So it looks like Officer Pollock may be coming over to harass Phil Free for playing music. I'm not sure what's actually happening here. Police coming. I'm taking a position nearby. Like Harmony is getting the hassle. I'm not sure for what. And indeed, it is Harmony is being ID'd. And Harmony Bliss is being ID'd. Here we have three police officers. He tried to walk away, and the police officer has pulled him back. So there's a criminal flute player here getting special treatment from the police.
I'm not going to leave on you. I have the right to go because I didn't do anything.
That's what you're under arrest for.
You violated my right by touching me. I was being forced.
So he's being held by two officers here. It's not clear what the charge is, actually, except for walking away from an officer is now a charge. He's being moved away. What's he under arrest for, officer? I don't know. Are you under arrest?
I'm following World War II, you asshole.
I'll use, because I'm Italian, and I'm sick of these Germans controlling what I have to say, my speech and my energy. I'm Italian, and my protest is, yeah, I can use the F word because my dad fought in World War II. And this is evil. They're feeding me to and calling a Christian, and that's wrong.
Mr. Woods,
I'm a Christian, and I believe it's cool. It's wrong, and telling me about kids and all that stuff.
Mr. Woods, what do you think they're saying?
Do I have the right to be in song?
Mr. Woods, what's your
yes,
name?
Yes.
You signed my Fifth Amendment right.
But they can still arrest you. They'd be advised of that, though.
Mr. Woods, I need your information so I can put the citation to the rules.
Take it off.
Well, I'm going to jail until they figure out who you are, and then they'll start you out. It's up to you.
Keep in mind, it's Sunday.
And it's been a slow day with DMV all day. So you can give me the information if you like, and you can play the other game. Would you like to give me your information?
Okay.
Would you like to give me your information? Is that how you want to go about it?
Yeah, I'm not feeling good right now.
Would you like to give me your information?
I wasn't hostile.
I never said anything about hostility.
Well, why was I met with hostility?
Didn't meet you hostility.
I was not met with hostility. I was being artistic. I have food over there, and I have a...
Yeah.
If you walk over there and make sure I get my stuff right now, because it's in danger.
My stuff is in danger right now.
Somebody get his stuff.
Can you talk to me
and say, yeah. Can you walk over and get my stuff?
It's over there.
I want to walk over there and get it. I think I have the right. I'm an American citizen. My father fought in World War II. Yeah. So this tape's going to be a famous tape, because George Bush shouldn't be allowed to go bomb Baghdad, but I should be allowed to sneak out right here.
Just go ahead and do what you need.
Mr. Woods, would you mind please giving me your date of birth, sir?
Yeah. March 12th.
Of what year?
1962.
I gave a man on the street without a chart. Have you read the time?
Yes.
My name is David. Have you ever had ID in California before? Where have you had ID from?
I
can tell you anything I want to. It's my right.
My kids are. This is my family. My cousin's birthday. You guys are part of the mob. You guys are part of the evil. It's really oppressing the American dream. American dream is not being upheld here. My American dream is free speech and protest. Not being upheld. Seeing these protests, I was seeing him playing music. They can just come here and serve dead meat, and I can't say anything about it. In the name of Christ.
Last thing's Woods.
Woods all the same. In the name of Christ.
Who was it, Chris Chapter?
Listen, he was having a pleasant conversation until that girl went off on him. And he cussed at him, and he cussed at her, and then...
I think Adam's got upset because of Phil Free or something, or... I don't know.
I saw him.
It's been weird today, but this is where we're at, and I'm standing with you. Freedom's freedom. I tried to tell him he's been my friend for a long time. I know how the song came about.
Four police officers dealing with one serious case here on the sidewalk, folks.
Serious case is to incriminate George Bush for 911. And also to incriminate
Sergeant Baker.
The people fleeing ICE into Hawaii and crack in L.A. Controlling people's...
Mr. Woods, I need your attention for a second. Can you tell your address so I can send you a copy of the citation?
14.
She wants to be in
confidence.
I think you'd be a great cop.
So it's about 3:15 to 3. We have a host across the street in shorts watching, and we now have four police officers.
Road. And that's Tahoe.
Can you spell that for me?
T-A-H-O-A.
That's Hawaii? What's the zip code out there?
9-6.
What color are you guys, sir?
Brown.
Handing warrant check down the mall.
Hold.
Four police officers doing a fine job.
41.
That's all of you. How much do you weigh?
150.
150? Looks like a report or a citation being written by Officer Pollock here.
The Messiah works in strange ways. The Lord works in strange ways, but he has a plan. So don't you worry about it, because I know that the mind count is right, that the 13th cycle of darkness will be the worst, but once it's over, there will be only light.
And you'll be so proud of yourself.
Beyond respect, it's actually, I think, catharsis. Any kind of emotional catharsis.
And that's all a little difficult to understand for those of you who weren't there. It was a Saturday or Sunday meal. I think the last Sunday meal the Potter's Hand had on the sidewalk. Pastor Adams got upset with Phil Free for his song Have a Happy Fucking Day, which Phil actually modified in consequence to kind of tone down the fucking, but to sing the song and to get the message out anyway. And then there was also an incident regard between Harmony and some other woman who had a dispute. Harmony is a local musician. And it seemed to be an unnecessary situation where Harmony was accused by, I think the complaint was from Pastor Adams, but I'm not sure, for disturbing the peace or something, and a citation was written, and you got to hear all the music and the kind of the noise in the background. Again, massive a number of police officers for what? I guess in this case, because it was a citizen's concern, they showed up, and there was, of course, a large gathering of homeless people there and people who were hungry using the meal. An unfortunate situation that has, they can come up at times, I think, and folks can work through them. I'm hoping Dennis Pastor Adams will reappear on the street. I've heard from his workers that he will, and I've also heard he won't, so I'm not sure what's going to go on. This is also connected with the Downtown Association's attempt to crack down on food servers on Pacific Avenue, which we don't have too much information on, nothing new, just the minutes of the Downtown Association meeting. Apparently Councilmember Rotkin came to the meeting, he was reported as saying through the Downtown Association's Legislative and Social Committee that he would be willing to help enforce existing code sections regarding food serving downtown. That concerns, of course, not just Food Not Bombs, not just the Pastor's Hand, Potter's Hand, but it also concerns Huff, which has been giving out brownies on the mall. But I got to say, and candidly, there has been no apparent crackdown yet, and I don't want to cry wolf when there's no wolf there, but this stuff is happening behind the scenes, and it can happen very, very quickly once it starts to happen. So keep your eyes and ears open, and also keep advised on free radio here that we are ourselves on the alert for a crackdown after a notice that in 10 days the V-Man and no doubt others are going to be targeted for illegally operating a transmitter. So be ready to support us here. You're tuned to Free Radio, 96.3 FM, 427-3772 is the call-in number. Stay with us.
Excuse me, everyone, for just a moment. I got to make a phone call. Hello? Hello? Hi, it's George W. Bush. Is Saddam Hussein there?
Is this you, W?
Yeah, hi, Saddam. Hi.
I'm sorry, it's very hard to hear you. I'm on cell phone. Hold on a minute. Hold on. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Hello?
Okay. Saddam, the connection's still a little bad. Could you tell me exactly where you are?
Oh, yeah, sure. You know, I'm in Winter Palace. The one that's at the corner of Dromedary Drive and...
Uh-huh.
Oh! Nice try, Mr. President. Nice try.
Yeah, you almost fell for it. All right. well, listen, Saddam, actually, the reason I'm calling is I just wanted to congratulate you on your recent reelection. 100% of the vote. Wow, that's almost everybody.
Well, yeah, what can I say? My people love me, or else. But you know, W, I was thinking, my election, your election, we had a lot of similarities there, you know.
Well, yeah, I guess you could say that. I had Al Gore.
I had Al-Qaeda.
Had a problem with hanging chads.
I had a problem with hangings.
Yeah. Well, listen, Saddam, actually, I just want to say to you, you will be defeated, and I will bring democracy to Iran.
Iraq.
Whatever.
Well, that's all very well and good, W, but why don't you try that in Florida first? I'm sorry, W, I have to go. I have called Kuwaiting. What an idiot. You know, folks, people are always saying to me, Saddam, 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 why? Why do you care so much about those biological weapons laboratories? I mean, they're just going to get bombed. You're going to have to move them. And I don't know. I just get so emotional. I've served so many terms, and I've served so many germs. To stop it now would be a waste. I've grown a culture in this place. Here's where my latest strain began. We made a new bacterium to cause delirium. Those little guys that, ow, sting your eyes are a second family to me now. Why should I let inspectors in? All right, I understand the reason you need to have an enemy, but why? Why does it always have to be me? To bomb a place with nukes that has an anti-U.S. stance. You wouldn't have to go so far. Your country could bomb France. Oh, well. I won election once again, thanks to my brother, Jeb Hussein. Ha! Thank you, I'm here all week. So get accustomed to my face. Thank you, good night.
I was here the whole time. I was handing out bread right 5 feet from where I'm standing right now.
We're standing right near the new, what is it called? Uptown Gene Company is the sign in this new Cooper House. It hasn't been occupied yet.
Right, and this kid, he's been here. He's been hanging out here for the last hour or so. And
Harmony, we're talking. The fellow who just
Woods,
got the ticket.
Woods, yeah. And, you know, I know him from around town, and and I've been talking to him and stuff, and he was just talking to people, just hanging out, and he kind of speaks out and stuff, you know, and never violent or nothing like that. And I mean, he was just talking to someone, and someone walked by and, like, screamed at him, told him to stop cussing, and she even screamed a profanity at him, told him to stop cussing.
What was the profanity she said?
I think she said, don't fuck or something, you know, but, and he said, fuck you, and someone else had just had a problem in the line with cussing and had been asked not to cuss, and then when he said fuck, everybody kind of in the serving the food and stuff thought his hand looked up, and he kind of started just you know, people started talking out and stuff, and he was getting kind of agitated. But nothing wrong. He said it was free speech. He could say what he wanted to. And then Pastor Adams, Dennis Adams, said that he wanted him cited. And Dennis went over to one of the officers and came back, and then the officer about a minute later called the kid over and started talking to the kid, and then that's when we went over, started recording, you know.
Eventually got a citation, apparently.
Yeah, citation. I don't even know what the citation's for. I can't imagine what it's for. I mean, I didn't see any behavior any time that was even close to anything criminal, so I don't know. It's well, crazy. I mean, this kid, he's
a little bit out there, and
I never saw anything that even came close to anything criminal. Is
no,
what I'm
I hear
saying.
You. I think that, you know, the dentist's under some pressure. So it's one of those days. It looks like.
Yeah, it's kind of a crazy day out here. You know, it's a lot of. I don't know. It's kind of a crazy day, but like I said, this kid he does these different. He plays a flute. Like he was playing a flute today. He was playing a little xylophone. He talks about the church and God and what he sees in the community and stuff.
time, you know, absolutely free speech stuff. And, you know, absolutely, you know, like meaning behind it and stuff, you know. And, yeah, like I said, I didn't see anything criminal.
We still have a police car double parked here. I guess Sergeant Baker again, no doubt. Along with four cops just hanging out.
That's all I gotta say about it, I guess.
Thank you, Scott Rhodes.
Yes, my name is Scott Rhodes.
And we appreciate your input.
What time is it?
It is time to end the war in Iraq, about 10 to 3.
10 to 3.
It's a sunny Sunday. Well, you can try. We're in front of the beautiful Rouge, a new cheesy O'Neill surf store building business. And there's a bunch of sidewalk stuff happening here in terms of lots of merchandise on the sidewalk. I don't know if they have permits. We're talking to two vicious scofflaws. Your name, sir?
Eric Piper, and this is my wife, Melina Piper.
Hey, Melina.
Hello.
And Melina, rumor has it you're pregnant.
Yeah, due January 2nd.
Well, good luck. And what's happening, Eric?
I'm just hanging out. Well, one of the things I wanted to talk about, though, was the attitude down here. You know, we feed over here, the Potter's Hand. Well, not we. It's my friend Dennis, who he's the pastor of that church, Potter's Hand. And they meet down here, and they feed the homeless down here. And we've been having a lot of heat lately because of the way that people react around you know, seeing us out. You were talking about them being out here without a permit. We're kind of out here without a permit, too.
Does the Potter's Hand actually do? Because they haven't been here for the last few weeks.
Actually, they'll be out here next week. But we've had to put that on hold for 2 weeks because people have been being obnoxious and rude to the tourists. So the police basically told us, keep it down until the end of summer, and then you can come back. So that's the way it's going.
Is this what Dennis told you, or this is what you heard from other people?
Heard it from other people within the church body. I don't get to talk to Dennis very much one-on-one at this point, but, you know, that'll change.
So are you yourself, your name is Potter, is this related to
Piper?
Piper, Potter, they all start with D, for heaven's sake, it's all the same. Anyway, so how long have you been in town, Eric?
I've lived here, I guess, 15 years. Totally.
And have you noticed any crackdown on the streets in the last year or two? Are things getting better? What's going on?
Actually, I think Santa Cruz has entered kind of like a limbo. You know, it has a lot of potential, but the homeless population here isn't getting looked after the way they should. And, you know, there's not enough jobs being offered to people, or enough job training through like job corps and stuff like that. For people who actually want to help themselves out, there aren't really any more programs for that. They don't have the county funding. Like MHCAN, that's the local mentally ill drop-in center, right? And mentally ill people can go there and they can use the computer and stuff like that. They're meeting with really hard times because they just don't have the funding and they aren't hiring any new people and stuff like that. So, you know, there's just not enough facilities to help the people who are out there. And, you know, sooner or later they get tired of it and they want to get off the street. And they go and they try to get into a program, whatever, whatever. And after enough doors slam in their face, they just get into this, go to the mission and blah, 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 blah.
There is a mission. I don't know. There's no. In the summer, there's only place for 39 people on the floors of churches. And they're usually all taken up, according to Karen Brock recently of the Homeless Services Center. Any tickets or hassles?
Not that I've gotten, but I've seen people get tickets for, like, playing music out here, and that's supposed to be legal, you know, and people come out here with the full band set up, and they don't bother them, but they sure bother the homeless musician trying to make a buck for a burger, you know.
I see Morgami is playing down the way, or is it Morgani? I'm never sure which. The fellow with the harmonica and the outrageous outfit.
Right.
I don't think he's ever gotten a ticket, much less a warning in his life, although he's playing illegally next to a building. It's actually not illegal to play next to a building. It's illegal to have a display device on the sidewalk within 10 feet of a building. But there were people playing the other day, a lot of guitars in different spots. I was kind of impressed with all the different music. But I have noticed generally a falling off of musicians.
Yes, sir, that is the case, because they're being harassed and stuff like that. We were given the right to sell our CDs and stuff like that, but they're still writing tickets for that.
Who gave you the right to sell your CDs? I mean, I think you should have
council. They totally judged the street musician thing, and they said as long as you're not amplified, you can bring out your CDs, you can sell them on the street, blah, blah, blah.
I'd like to see where that is, because I think if you look at the... Well, I'll have to look at the street performer's new flyer, but as far as I know, it's illegal, although Mike True is appealing that issue.
Yes, sir, maybe so. But the way I heard it was legal, and I've been coming out here and selling my CDs, and I never...
Got your CDs with you?
No. Actually, I'm here...
Fine!
I'm here to meet a friend today.
Not likely a story.
Yeah, so... but, you know, I come out here and I sell my CDs, and you have a copy of it.
What is it called?
Padawan Piper. Remember, I gave it to you a long time ago.
My cracky, you better find another one. Anyway, Eric, thank you for talking to us, and...
Have a good one.
Good luck to you and whoever's coming next.
Violet.
Violet?
Violet Ray, hang on.
Thank you. We're talking with Eugene Jacobs. Eugene, you're in front of the hat company. We're sitting with a friend, a cup of coffee. It looks like a backpacker bedroll, and there's a sign on the sidewalk. It's a hat company right next to you, and you say you haven't been hassled yet.
No, I haven't been hassled yet, actually. I've been quite left alone and at peace, so everything's going on.
Sitting illegally within 14 feet of a building.
Yes, I am, and nothing's really happened so far.
And did anyone from the hat company complain?
Nope.
And you said that you were advised by some woman that it was inappropriate or it was illegal, or what did she say to you?
She told me it was illegal to sit here at least 15 feet close to the building, so I had to get away from the building. But she did it as a kind warning and not as a persecution.
Was she in a little purple outfit that said Downtown Information or Downtown Hose?
Yes, she did. Yes, she was wearing that.
Okay, so beware. These are the people who then radio into police and later give people tickets.
Oh, well, thank you for that. I did not know that.
And where are you from?
I'm from San Jose originally.
Okay, and who is this scoundrel with you?
This scoundrel would be my best friend, Andre.
Hey, Andre, how's it going?
Good.
Any hassles here in town?
Not so far.
Okay, well, if anything happens, we want pictures.
Okay.
Thank you.
Applause. How many Democrats do we have tonight? All right. It's more in the House and Senate combined, huh? And by your applause, how many Republicans do we have here today? All the expensive seats down front. Okay, makes sense. We know 2002 was kind of a bad year for the Democrats, and frankly, we're not going to make things any better by singing this song. A senator from South Dakota had a small majority, but the next thing you know, the voters gave the Senate to the GOP. Now we sing, hang down your head, Tom Daschle, hang down your head and cry. You were ahead, Tom Daschle, you guys got beat, but why? That's right, the Republicans are in charge. I'd sure hate to be Jim Jeffords right about now. He's looking at an office behind the dumpster in the back of the building. Now, since we're putting the foe in folk music here tonight, this, of course, must be a sing-along. So we need you all to sing along on the chorus. The words are real easy. I'll teach them to you now. They go like this. Hang down your head, Tom Daschle. Hang down your head and cry. You were ahead, Tom Daschle. You guys got beat, but why? All right, everybody ready to try it? Let's go. Ready, let's go. And hang down your head, Tom Daschle. Hang down your head and cry. You were ahead, Tom Daschle. You guys got beat, but why? All right, pretty good, pretty good. Well, your party's ads were hyper, but folks just to turn the dial. They wanted news about the sniper and Winona Ryder's trial. Everybody, hang down your head, Tom Daschle. Hang down your head and cry. You were ahead, Tom Daschle. You guys got beat, but why? All right, this is excellent. Got a good bunch tonight. Now a little bit of advice for the Republicans. Well, sure, it's good to see that you got the House and the Senate won. There's only one caveat. Now you gotta get things done. Just the men now.
Hang down your head, Tom Daschle. Hang down your head and cry.
Women over 40. Okay, my bad, my mistake. We won't do that again. All right. Well, in the next election, if both parties stay this mean, we're betting our best selection would be President Martin Sheen.
Yeah, that was plenty boring. I apologize for that one. That was another Capital Steps number. They're a little uneven. That's from the album Between Iraq and a Hard Place. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. And for all you folks who've been puzzled at the busy signal on the line here for the last hour, I want to thank Coral for rushing down here and letting us know that we have a busy line. This was my fault. I have the wrong button pushed here in the studio, so the lines are once more open. However, you are going to have to compete with and direct your questions to the infamous Steadfast Steve Argue and, of course, the brains in the outfit, Jennifer Argue, who's here to make sure that Steve doesn't fuck up. Well, actually, these are two independent individuals of their own opinions, and I, of course, run things here. I'm your host, Robert Norse, and Steve, welcome to Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, you are, of course, have been a regular commentator on Free Radio, but haven't been heard from for a couple of years on the radio, except occasionally.
Well, I came back on. I had a show early in the morning, I don't know, about 6 months ago, but I stopped doing it when I was had been laid off from the job. I was doing habitat restoration and botanical work, various things, and restoring native habitat. I was laid off from that, and I was looking for work, and I decided not to spend the time doing the morning show that I was doing.
Well, instead, I've seen you at the Street Performers Festival, and I've also heard you've been...
No, I wasn't there. No, at the street...
I saw you sneaking around the Loudoun. Actually, you weren't sneaking. You were striding about the Loudoun, Nelson. And yeah. What did you think of the show last night?
It was great. It was really good. I enjoyed seeing some of my friends who I hear... playing on Pacific Avenue. I enjoyed seeing them up on stage. And
without the prospect of arrest, at least for that evening.
Exactly.
Yeah, that was, of course, a sore point for me. I had seen all this energy go into this huge Loudoun Nelson thing, which was a nice event, no question about it. But, of course, I would have preferred to see an event which actually directly supported people who are actually in the process of performing on the street, and that one didn't fly at all with Tom Noddy, who arranged the event. He looked very puzzled when I brought that up and said, "How, you know, I've always arranged events indoors. I don't see how you could possibly, you know, why would we do it outdoors?" And I said, "Well, because the hassle is outdoors. Am I out of bounds here? What do you think?"
I don't think it was that kind of event. It was, I mean, we're talking like a couple hundred people were there. I think the venue that Tom Noddy chose for it was a good one.
Oh, fine. Stick with Tom. What about me? Well, and of course, I'm getting some coaching. Sweetness and light, sweetness and light. Yes, indeed. Only in Santa Cruz, sweetness. I noticed also that all the advertising for this event was a celebration of street performing. And we had comments from Tom Noddy about, you know, there was the occasional chiding of the city council. But the whole thing was, the fever has broken. We're going to see a better street performing scene. We all love street performers. 99% of Santa Cruz loves street performers. There's no real problems with street performers. And there's no problem. This was my concern.
There wasn't
much talk about there being police problems, and that's what bothered me.
There was a little bit of that, and I think maybe part of what Tom Noddy was putting forward was an optimism, not really stating that these things have all necessarily changed, but that an optimism in what he had done in this event in the last couple of days and the good press it got, an optimism in terms of different type of attitude being generated towards street performers. I think there was, I mean, there could have been a little more political content, but there was some political content, and it was political just the act itself of having these street performers who are being hassled by the police and putting them in a good light, and that in and of itself was a good thing, I think.
Of course. I mean, you can't disagree with that. But the point is that there was no mention made of a street performer's survival fund or that the street performers were in any way threatened. There was no indication in the publicity that that was the case. And as you say, this putting them in the best possible light, at least, and wasn't, I mean, I'm great about putting the street performers in the best possible light, but this also seemed to put the entire downtown scene as being in the best possible light instead of pointing out that we have a markedly worse situation than a year ago, that we have markedly more repressive laws than we ever had, and the fact that there may be a change in the juggling law, thank you very much, done not through a smiley, let's all get together event, but done through standing up to the bad law, which Tom Noddy, I want to say to his credit, did do, makes me, I mean, I keep wondering all the energy thrown into this event instead of, and this is his last hurrah, he's going back to Germany, you know. I felt that there was something seriously missing here, but hey, maybe someone else like I don't know who will step forward. Hi, you're on Free Radio. Hello.
Hi, Robert. It's Roxanne.
Oh, fine. How are you, Roxanne?
Robert, this is the voice of criticism.
Oh, excellent. Go ahead.
One of the things that bugs the shit out of me about you and your show
is
that no matter when somebody has an event, they just don't do it right.
Definitely not.
If it's Wham, they're doing it wrong.
That's for sure.
If it's the street performers, but they're doing it.
Well, the city council does it right. I mean,
they're doing it. They're putting all the energy into it. You know, one of the things that I notice about you is that no one gives you any credit for what you do, and I'm becoming aware that it's because you don't give any credit.
What do I look like? Do I look like a bank?
Pissed.
Is that the problem here? I mean,
why don't you say something good about what they did? Why do you always concentrate on what was absent? You don't have to answer. You just need to stop it, damn it.
Well, voice of criticism, do you have any more criticism for me?
Oh, it was very nice talking to you, Robert.
Oh, it's a pleasure hearing you again, VC.
Uh-huh.
Voice of criticism.
I had to call. You do this all the time.
No, I love your criticism. And I will criticize you as soon as I
The minute I hang up, you just talk about everything that's wrong with me. Okay?
I'll try to get into that.
Okay.
Oh, I have a question for you though before you go.
Yeah.
Do you have any updates? I know you've been working with Stacy and Orly Jones, and they're coming up on Friday at the jail with a hearing. Anything people should know about that?
Well, what people should know, I don't know. It's one of those things that they should have had their kids back already when they signed the papers after the June 14th. Court hearing, the judge had ordered reunification.
But they're four kids.
And it's my belief because three of their four kids have been physically abused and neglected in foster care and have told people about it that now they're political prisoners, that, you know, they won't let them talk about it at visits to their parents.
Why must you be so negative about this, Roxanne? Have you got anything but criticism to say for the CPS? How about a positive word?
I can't, sorry.
CPS and a street performers event are two completely
Oh, for heaven's
things.
Sake. What, you got a defender in the studio? Did you pay him?
You know, I do think that Steve is a little more rooted in reality than you are sometimes.
Now she's a psychiatrist. Thank you, voice of criticism.
But anyway, what I was going to say is I'm very worried that they might not get their kids back that can talk because they are a liability to CPS now. You know, one boy was choked in foster care, one slammed down to the floor. One child has bruises and handprint on her butt. So,
and this is all foster care, which was mandated by CPS, which took these kids away from Stacy and Orly in April, right?
Without a mark on them.
Right.
I mean, if the kids had marks like that on them, I think Stacy and Orly would have been in jail. So I'm very anxious about these kids. I'm actually not as anxious about the outcome for Orly and Stacy as I am about the kids, because they're the big losers in this.
Mm-hmm.
I know that Stacy and Orly don't have the perfect living situation. They have an RV. There's some things that I know middle-class people just frown upon like crazy. But I can't really think that anything could be worse. Actually, one of the big issues right now is that the boys want to come to court and talk to the judge.
Mm-hmm.
They want to come home. Their lawyer isn't letting them. It is their right. When you're a foster child, you actually get a notice in the mail of the day of the hearing that has to do about you, and you have the right to go.
Mm-hmm.
I've been told that the judge does not like the children there. The lawyers, no one informs the kids of their right to go to court. And so these kids, their lawyer won't give her their phone give them her phone number. She only will let the foster mother have it. And I am so, you know, the really big problem I see with this system is that they don't really protect the kids' rights. They protect the kids' rights that they want to protect.
Mm-hmm.
And their actual rights that they have, they don't inform them about, and they don't let them have.
You know, maybe what they need to do is Stacy and Orly need to get the kids to write a statement that they can sort of pass on to Stacy and Orly, and then they can bring it to court, although, of course, this would no doubt be observed by the sharp-eyed CPSer.
Well, it's an interesting thing because the lawyer has told the court that she thinks that Stacy and Orly have put the boys up to going to court. And I guess you could technically say that's true, but what really happened, because I inform everybody of their rights, is that I informed Stacy and Orly that their children had the right to go to court and that I knew no one would
tell them about it.
Tell them about it. And so Stacy and Orly, who are very, very aware that at any time people can be listening to them on the phone, just strictly informed the kids that they had the right to go to court and that they should call their lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
And that was termed as putting them up to it.
Mm.
They didn't tell them what to say. They didn't, you know, because they would not do that because they never know if their phone calls are being taped or...
Right. Would you recommend that members of the public come to this hearing? I admit they'll be locked out of it, but should they come outside and support it at 8:30 on Friday morning?
Well, Robert, I don't think it does any good. I mean, that's your idea of activism. Personally, I really don't think it will do any good, so I can't ask people to do that. The last time I was there...
Actually, I was asking you, I know you are the voice of criticism, however, I was asking you if that's what you wanted done. I wasn't suggesting it needed to be done.
Robert, don't get snippy. I'll just have to really get on you.
Listen, voice of criticism, I will snip back at any point.
Now, listen, this is what I want to say, though. I was there, like, at 8:30 or 9 at the last court date, because... Not only did I have a document for the court, but I also wanted to be a body that was supportive. And they didn't hear their case till 1 o'clock in the afternoon. They don't give you any time for your case. You just have to be there when court opens.
So you've answered my question there, voice of criticism.
So it's hard for people to know when to be there. I mean, if they have the whole day to spend there, I guess they could.
Well, I suppose it doesn't really. I mean, you're suggesting that they not come. It's not helpful. And I will take that as your suggestion, voice of criticism. Roxanne, thank you.
It's not polite to cut off your phone.
Yes,
caller.
But we have only 16 minutes for poor Steve Argue, who is already looking
Steve,
very forlorn
I'm so
here.
I'm sorry. Steve, he asked me. You heard him. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, it's good that you aired this situation, actually.
Notice the use of the preterite tense, aired. Your time is up,
bye.
Caller. Thank you.
Robert.
Phone number is 427-3772. Ooh, that felt good. Call me Councilmember Rutkin. So in any case, Steve, you're here in the studio, and you apparently had a good time last night, as did I, actually, and felt the street performers...
Yeah, those were great acts.
Oh, yeah.
It was a very good show.
What's the next step for street performers? I mean, I don't see anything changed on the streets, although there has been a sort of a laying off of... hostility, or laying off at least ticketing. I know Mike True has been out on the boardwalk, he's pointed out, or down at the Beach Street area last 4 weekends, and he said he hasn't been ticketed or harassed for displaying his CDs, though admittedly he had them for donation, whereas a year ago he was arrested by Sergeant Baker, and that's, of course, the basis for a federal lawsuit now in the federal courts, which may be one of the reasons he's not being hassled again. Who knows? But what do you think? What have you observed downtown for street performers? Are things getting better for them? Should we be optimistic?
Well, I think you spend more time downtown talking to people and interviewing people downtown. I don't know exactly what's been happening to street musicians, you know, just lately. I know that there had been... just a few months ago, quite a bit of different kinds of harassment that I heard about. So,
this was when?
I've heard a new number of things. I can't give you a whole bunch of details. So, I mean,
right. I have not heard of any tickets, but I have heard.
This was a few months ago.
Yeah. Again, there was of course a massive harassment under the infamous Move Along Law, which you yourself go to court for on September 11th. You want to? You can tell. I've already kind of introduced that subject earlier in the show. We've talked about it before. I have noticed that the move-along law has not been applied to political tablers or street performers that I've heard about in the last couple months, but it has been applied to individual homeless people like Kuo, who was on the show earlier. I wasn't on the show. We heard a tape of him. Charges were dismissed against him on another matter. But he has been told he has to move along every hour. And this is as recently as a few days ago. So you are going to court on September 11th for two counts of moving along or not moving along at a political table in front of the Pacific Trading Company.
That's correct. These charges, or this law, this was a law that many of us spoke out against when it was passed by the city council. It's a law that came along with a number of other new downtown ordinances, which are directed against free speech, against the poor, against street performers, including the juggling law that Tom Noddy was arrested under, and he successfully overturned by not backing down on that. But also, this law that I was arrested under is a law where it applies to people doing free speech activity, doing it more than an hour, with having a political table up, which they call a non-commercial display in the law, for more than an hour in one place is a violation of city law in Santa Cruz. The city law itself is a violation of the First Amendment to the Constitution, which does not limit free speech to 59 minutes. And under this law, I was arrested twice, and as well as Matt Hartog being arrested once. And the city government is going ahead with the prosecution. They want to drop the charge against me, even though it says in the law, if you're arrested under this twice in 6 months, it's a misdemeanor.
It shall be a misdemeanor.
Yeah, it says it it's very straightforward in the law. But the city government now, the city attorney, John Barisoni, sent me a letter stating that the charge was being dropped down to an infraction, which the purpose of this would be to deny me a jury trial.
And a public defender that's paid for it.
And it also may, who knows, maybe it also has something to do with the publicity. They don't want it to be seen as serious as...
There's also information, apparently, according to the Downtown Association's inner rumblings, some of the minutes of their meetings, which indicates that the a person from the city attorney's office attended a recent Downtown Association meeting and told them that they were rewriting the move-along law. So it may be they're trying to patch it up because it is very badly written. It's written about, you know, in such a way that, for example, if you follow the literal meaning of the word, you can actually, the same person can put up different display devices and use the same signs again and again. So if you really want someone to not be able to be there except for 1 hour out of every 24 and then have to move 100 feet, it's not written in such a way as to guarantee that. So they may be doing that. What kind of support have you gotten? This seems to me to be as clear an attack as anything on the First Amendment of the Constitution. I know the Bill of Rights Defense Committee, at least that's what they call themselves, they're actually a group that's very narrowly concerned with the Patriot Act, stopping the Patriot Act at a national level and getting the city to specifically